You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, coming to you all on this Tuesday. And I've got an excellent podcast for you. Joining me will be Scott Kushner, the beat writer for the New Orleans Advocate, to shed some light and give an update on this organization as a whole, and particularly the futures of Alvin Gentry and general manager Dell Demps. Are they staying? Are they going? The NFL draft is over. All the guys are probably here that the Saints drafted and signed as undrafted free agents. We got some time maybe for Mickey Loomis and ownership to focus on the Pelicans again. Will we hear some news breaking I can't even say their names. I'm combining them as one person, which actually probably is the better idea because I feel they're so tied to each other. But Demps and Gentry, there we go. Not Jemptree or whatever I was trying to say there, but Demps and Gentry, are they going to be back? Are we going to hear some news saying that they're going to be fired or let go, and they're, you know, or are we going to have it leak out that maybe they're going to be staying here with the franchise? It should be kind of interesting. So I've got Kushner coming on to join me, good friend of mine, to talk about that. And like I said, he's just going to kind of give you some a little bit of a peek behind the scenes on how this team operates, which I think might go a long way towards clarifying some of the biggest concerns that I talked about 2 and 3 weeks ago here on the podcast. When I had the likes of T. Bob Hebert on, when Fletcher Mackel was on with me, where there kind of seems to be some murky cloudiness going up at the top, and it's leading to a lot of confusion and frustration from Pelicans fans. Kushner is going to help clear that up a little bit today, so I'm excited to have him here on Locked On Pelicans with me. Don't forget, though, Locked On Pelicans is available on iTunes, on Audio Boom. It's on Facebook. Just search it, like it, please, subscribe to it, follow it on Twitter, at Locked On Pels. In the wake of the aftermath of everything that's happened over the past week and how sad that is and kind of the shift and change and coverage the different places are going with, right now these local podcasts and things dedicated to your favorite teams really do need some help. I'm not asking for money. I'm not doing a Patreon or a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo or anything like that. Just do me a favor. Like it on Facebook. Follow it on Twitter. Subscribe to it. If you can, if you're on iTunes, rate it 5 stars, 4 stars, whatever the max is. I'm on an Android, so I don't really see it as much. But all of that's actually really important for the podcast, especially one that comes to you guys 4 or 5 days a week and is hyper-focused like this. So please do me that favor and click those buttons for me. Joining me here on Locked On Pelicans, I've got Scott Kushner, Pelicans beat writer for your New Orleans and Baton Rouge Advocate, I guess. Scott, thanks for coming on with me today.
Absolutely, man. It's still standing here on the Pelicans beat while we lose guys left and right.
Oh, man. It's like dropping. It's I'm like a daily podcast, and it's like, oh, it's like shouldn't be this important probably.
It was very upsetting seeing what happened with Justin Verrier, and best of luck to John Reed, who's out in Jacksonville now. But, you know, I'm still standing in there, and me and you will be at those press conferences, just the two of us, one of these days.
Well, hang out. We've taken selfies there before, or I take pictures and you just look angry in the background.
That's pretty much how I operate at those things. Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
Yeah. So, speaking of the Pelicans, obviously, you wrote the other day about how there's no update yet on the future of Alvin Gentry and general manager Dell Demps. Is this going to be a situation like Jazz Fest from the other day where they give you kind of something and then you don't hear anything regarding it for an extended period of time?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it's going to be like. It's like, hey, we just want you guys to know that we're thinking about it, but that's what's going on, is we're thinking about it. And it's like, that doesn't really give any concrete info. It doesn't really tell you what to do going forward or what to think. But it just tells you they're thinking about it. And that's basically where they're at. It's essentially all of my sources over there, which is essentially what I wrote. All of my sources over there are telling me that they're still mulling their options. While at the same time, I think, you know, a source was quoted saying they're 52-48 in one direction. So it's like, you know, there's really nothing, you know, it's not as if they feel like they're super lopsided on one way or the other and they're just looking for a reason not to.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty close. at this point.
So, yeah, they haven't – basically, they're still evaluating everything is what it sounds like, and it could kind of be a toss-up either way, maybe if it's 52-48. You know, does it hurt this franchise that they haven't made a decision just yet? Do they need to show maybe the fan base overall that they're a little more decisive? Because right now I think a lot of people are like, okay, maybe we can get back to the Pelicans that the NFL draft is over, and they're still looking like, you know, like the stepson here to the Saints.
Yeah, and that's, I think, their biggest problem, which is they really, and this is on the executive level, those guys really harshly rebuke that type of thought process, which is the idea that their fans and that the public here thinks that the Pelicans are like a stepbrother or stepchild to the Saints. And you can ask Dennis Lauscher, you can ask any of those guys that are over there, they really are against that notion. But when the way things play out, the way they currently are, it's hard not to see it that way from an outside perspective. But what they're saying is that they're really just being patient and kind of going through their processes to make sure that they're making the right decision before they move forward, which is not to base everything on past results, but to base it on exactly what they can do going forward. I think if this was based on past results, they would tell you in 2 seconds, very easily, they would be replacing everyone and they'd be going to find new people. But they are thinking about the future and if these two people are what's right for the future, not whether or not they necessarily achieved their goals in the past couple of years.
You know, it's interesting, though, that they don't want this perception to be out there that the Pelicans are second fiddle here. But then you have a guy who's theoretically, I guess, in charge of the Pelicans, and Mickey Loomis, comes out and goes to the media. I think it was during the Senior Bowl, maybe, or the Combine, when he goes, y'all just overthink what I do with this Pelicans franchise. You know, wouldn't it be smart to kind of come out and just take some sort of stance on this to make it appear to your fans, the people buying season tickets and other things, that this isn't the case?
Yeah, so I think when Mickey said that, and what he says is basically every year, I mean, it's not anything new that he said that. Anytime he's asked about the Pelicans, he says his role is greatly overblown, because frankly, it is. His only job there with the Pelicans is to evaluate the performance of Dell Demps and evaluate the performance of Alvin Gentry and his staff, and Dell Demps and his staff. And so that's it. So he's not really in the room making calls. He's not making decisions. He's essentially acting the same way as a typical owner would. And so an owner is investing in those kinds of things. That's important. But as far as makeup of the actual basketball team, the owner is not that important. The GM is very important. Mickey's really acting as that owner, as a conduit to Tom Benson, who's 90 years old and can't really make those kinds of decisions and doesn't really understand the NBA to that level. So he's sort of that filament layer, that membrane to get to Tom Benson, but he's really not someone that's involved at all in the day-to-day decision-making and personnel and all that kind of stuff. He's really sort of, like an owner who has a lot of other things going on, you know what I'm saying? Steve Ballmer has a lot of other businesses. Mark Cuban has a lot of other businesses. You know, Lacob has a lot of other businesses. It's not a rare thing for an owner to have other things to do. And so they're not as involved in that day-to-day kind of decision-making. And I think that's the easiest way to think about it. That has not been communicated particularly well from their side, I don't believe.
No, I've had a bunch of guests on, and we've talked about it a lot, and it just comes off, you know, as I said, in that, you know, his role's kind of murky. I think that sheds some light on it and keeps it pretty clear. Let me ask you this, and I don't know if you know the answer to it. You know, what's Danny Ferry's role in everything? You know, I know he's still around with the team, but I get that question a lot of, you know, is he the one pulling all the strings, or is he just simply advising Dell Demps and he's just kind of one of their guys in the front office?
I would not say he's the guy pulling the strings by any stretch. I would say he's a valued voice in that room from everything that you talk to when you hear from those guys, which is that they say that Danny lends kind of a different side of the equation. I think his voice probably carries a little bit more weight than many of the other, you know, kind of that secondary level. Remember, this team has not had an assistant GM since Tim Connelly left. I think that's 4 years ago now that Tim actually left to go to Denver. And so Danny sort of has that level of voice. He's not doing the work of an assistant GM. He's really just doing the work of a consultant. When he's doing some scouting, he's certainly involved in all the talks and all those kinds of things that they do, but he is definitely not the one calling the shots. Dell Demps is still 100% the guy in charge of that front office.
So you said they are, if you're Loomis, you're not looking at past results, which, yeah, I think, and anyone should agree, should mean basically do you just clean house with this franchise? So they're looking to see kind of from last season, I guess it would be, what's the most predictive period? You know, how do you see that playing out going forward?
There's a couple of ways to look at it. And in the story I sort of mentioned, the one theme that you hear over and over again around them is DeMarcus Cousins has not had any stability in his entire NBA career. And that in a lot of ways, the DeMarcus Cousins trade is a game changer for the Pelicans. There was no other way in their minds, except for, you know, tanking and getting a really high draft pick, that they were ever going to get another superstar to pair next to Anthony Davis. It's very hard to attract in free agency, particularly at a small market, and certainly at a small market where there's no history of winning. So the idea of them getting another superstar, a top 20 caliber player, and honestly, it could be a top 10 caliber player if everything goes right, that changed the whole dynamic when you looked at this team and you looked at this, the performance of this front office. And the idea of getting him some stability in a situation that he likes, and there's a belief in there that he likes it with, he likes Dell and that he likes Alvin, at least for right now. And that's a hard combination to find when you are pairing with next to that superstar. Obviously, Anthony Davis is much more pliable than DeMarcus Cousins has been in the past, but he also does have a relationship with Alvin Gentry, certainly, and Dell Demps. So that idea of stability, they're still under contract, and it just makes a lot of sense from that perspective if you're thinking about stability and carrying this thing out for another year and knowing that this front office and this coaching staff is of people who are invested in this particular two-star system and getting this right, then it makes a lot of sense to say that everyone, you know, should come back. Again, that's completely holding off the last 6 years or whatever of decision-making that has taken place. This is just looking forward. Because if you were to put a new GM in there, for example, that person has no real buy-in to the Davis-Cousins combo. And if something goes wrong, they can bail on it really quickly, move in a different direction. And if that's what the organization wants to do, then that's what that's the direction they'll go in. But, you know, based on my understanding is that they really like the idea of the Davis-Cousins pairing. That was a huge deal for them at the All-Star break. Dennis Lauscha came on and said it's really provided a bunch of energy. He was on record saying that. He thought it was a major, you know, piece for them. I think everyone around there says that it's really, you know, they understand how hard it is to get another superstar in there. And so now they've got one. So that's my long meandering answer to I mean, I think it's important. I think that's the Cousins trade really is kind of a game changer for them in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it kind of reset the clock for this team and allowed them just to, you know, whether or not it's fair, maybe give them all a little bit more job security. Because like you said, it's not exactly easy to get guys in here, and it's not like they're going to really go out and, you know, I've been talking about them, but Chris Paul's not exactly a realistic option when it comes to free agency here in New Orleans. Would you be willing to welcome Chris Paul back?
Me personally, sure. He was a nice quote, good guy, all that kind of stuff. I don't think they have a chance of getting him. I think they'll certainly make a call and they'll see what they can do. But I can't imagine a scenario in which he wants to play alongside DeMarcus, just with their history between the two of them. Now, maybe they've cleared something up that I'm not aware of. But it seems like between that and the fact that he can make, I think it's like $40 million more playing in Los Angeles.
$52 million or something like that more in L.A.
Yeah, when you include the extra year, sure. I mean, it's sort of feels like a no-brainer that he'd go back to L.A. And it's not as if he'd be guaranteed any more success here than he would with the Clippers. I mean, this is a totally unproven commodity. The same way it was when the Clippers built that team and everybody thought they'd be this Western Conference power and they never got out of the second round. So, you know, I don't know where they can go at point guard. If Jrue Holiday doesn't, you know, opt in or resign as, you know, resign with the team. But I think they need a point guard regardless. Even if they do bring Holiday back, I think Patty Mills or someone like that is going to have to be a priority. And even if you have to go lower than that to get a pure point guard, is definitely a priority for this team. I just don't see Chris Paul as a legitimate option. Although that I know they will try, certainly, and maybe they can surprise me. I didn't think they'd get DeMarcus Cousins, so what the heck do I know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess none of us saw that coming. That was a weird. I remember you and I were texting just being like, this isn't real life, is it? It's still very odd that like this team who's done very little, especially with Dale Demps at the helm, managed to pull off something like that. And it's like, thank you, Kings, for not being too smart and also giving us still a chance at a top three protected pick. But you mentioned Drew Holiday. And so how do you see that all playing out? I think it seems like he's kind of gone regardless, just reading the tea leaves from things he said, the way the team's kind of talked about him. You know, do you see him getting a max deal out on the open market? Do you even think he wants to come back and play here in New Orleans or maybe go be that pure point guard somewhere else? Because I think that's how he views himself.
You know, he said all the right stuff when it comes to playing off the ball, which is that he said he really likes playing alongside someone like Tim, who can kind of take the burden of playing fast, and he can be that guy and allows him to be aggressive offensively. And Alvin and Dell never shied away from saying it to say that they think it is an enhancement of his ability to move him off the ball while still allowing him, you know, in stretches to play point. But he really, the most critical piece for him is probably going to be where does that dollar amount fall? I don't think he's going to get a max contract anywhere. I think last summer he would have gotten a max contract. This summer, just the way the numbers work with the cap not going up quite to the same level, I just don't see how anyone can offer him that kind of money and feel like he's going to transform their team like Chandler Parsons did last year. Anything like, I just don't think he's in that realm with this type of offseason. I think the Pelicans have a number in mind. I think it's a very high number. I think it's at least double what he's making now. It'll be in the, you know, mid-20 millions, and they'll probably go after him at midnight on the, he'll probably be their highest priority of what to bring back, which they've said all along. And if that number isn't what they think it's going to be, then they'll probably have to let him go. And I do think they're going to have to outbid everyone else for him. It is not going to be any situation where he takes a discount to come back here. They are going to have to spend more money. And if the right team comes in, like a team that's either a serious contender or one of the Los Angeles teams or something like that, I think they're going to have to pay way more than any of those teams would in order to get him to come. So they're at a disadvantage, certainly, in comparison to when you're normally bringing a guy back. But I don't think it's impossible for him to come back by any stretch.
No, but that's certainly not a good thing, because this is, you know, arguably maybe the most important offseason for this franchise. And you're saying they're already at a disadvantage when it comes to retaining their, you know, their top free agent when it comes to players on the current team. So do you see this as more of a pivotal offseason than the one, say, with those Chris Paul, David West teams, the one that after they had lost to the the Spurs, and going into that offseason when it looked like maybe a finals run was going to be in play?
Hard to say, you know, what's more important. It always, you know, when you look at the long term, I think you can, you know, say that the year they blew their cap on James Posey probably was a bad offseason. The year they traded Tyson Chandler and got a Mecca Okafor.
You're going to say that's maybe a bad thing?
Like, when you look back through the history of time, you see these offseasons that shifted everything. You shifted the balance of everything. You know, what if this team had all those first-round picks rather than having Tyreke Evans and Drew Holiday the last few years? Would they have ended up in a better spot than they are now? That was obviously an offseason that turned the whole history of this franchise. I do think this is very important. I think next offseason is significantly more important, because I think DeMarcus Cousins is a way bigger piece than Drew Holiday is. Now, this can set the table, but you really need to get Cousins back much more than you need to get Holiday back. Cousins is a no-doubt slam-dunk max player, and if you can retain him, that is a huge accomplishment for this team, something they've really never done before. If they can get Drew Holiday back, I mean, they've gotten a guy of that caliber here, you know, before. So I don't see this as being that critical. I think they need to build the pieces around it. I think they need to make the playoffs next year, certainly. But yeah, it's hard for me to gauge it. I think the summer of 18 will be enormous for this team, because essentially I think if you lose Cousins, you're going to lose Davis, and then you're really starting from scratch.
Yeah, that's definitely like the worst case scenario, I think, for Pelicans fans. Thanks for putting that in their minds now. Now they're going to be all concerned. And you probably gave me stuff to talk about, though, so this is good for me here. Let's just start with the scare tactics for everybody. So
I'm saying that this offseason isn't that important, so everybody can relax.
Well, yeah, but now they've got to worry about next year. Now we've got to get through a whole nother basketball season with this in the back of our minds.
Because no one would have asked DeMarcus about this the entire all of next season, I promise. It wouldn't have come up once otherwise.
Can you imagine what his reaction is going to be the first time like someone asks him about re-signing it and he's just like not having it?
I'm really excited to not have anyone else there as I'm asking these stupid questions. It's going to be brutal. Hopefully the Times-Picayune hire someone who is just willing to stand in there and take the bullets, because I don't want to ask that often. And it's going to something that has to be asked all the time this year coming up.
It was great because I go to every game, and I'll try and go to practices when I can, but you'd be there and Verrier would be there, and you guys would basically, what, just alternate asking Gentry the questions that like you really didn't want to ask him but kind of had to?
I mean, it's just part of the deal. It's like you really you got to ask the stuff, and thankfully Alvin's a very good guy and someone who gets the business and can figure that out. But I think Drew was certainly getting annoyed by the end of last season. He just kept saying that he had never once thought about free agency, which is, you know, that's a tact, I suppose.
Yeah.
but at the same time, I don't think DeMarcus is going to handle it particularly well if he's, you know, after every loss, if someone keeps asking if this is going to affect whether or not he comes back next year, because it's just not going to be something he says on the record, and it's not going to be something that is going to be public knowledge, but it's certainly something that has to be asked, and it's going to be a season-long theme, the same way that it was with Kevin Durant and the Warriors, same way it was with LeBron James and the Cavaliers. I mean, all of this, this is the way it goes. In this league, which is when you come at the end of your second contract, everyone wants to know what you're going to do next because you have a lot of freedom and a lot of ability to navigate your own terms.
Yeah, something that, you know, these players don't really get with the first time, like you said, when they're a restricted free agent. We learned this with Eric Gordon and everything that kind of led from that. So before I let you go here, so if you had to guess, one, do you see the Pelicans putting out any sort of announcement, press release, whatever, saying Gentry and Demps are safe? Or is this one of those things where if you currently have a job, you don't need your boss coming to you and saying that you still have it, you know, assuming everything's business as usual? And do you have a timeline maybe on when there might be something coming out from it?
I do not believe that there will be a press release. I would not be surprised if there was some sort of news leak or something to the degree of what you saw happen with Phoenix, which I believe was ESPN basically put out something that was sourced that said everyone was told they were going to come back next year from the Suns. And I could see that happening sometime before the draft. But at the same time, I could see just a whole lot of silence, and then we get to a point where it just becomes obvious that, you know, if they're in their job, they're not going away from their job, and this is what it is. I don't think the timeline is any sooner than, honestly, a week or two before the draft, before you'd ever really see something where you'd have to see movement. They don't rush these decisions. I think that's become painfully obvious that the Saints and the Pelicans
now.
Yeah, they just don't rush these decisions. They don't feel the calendar. I think that the example that gets brought up every time you ask anyone over there is, hey, do you know if you're going to have a job tomorrow? And it's like, not necessarily. It's like any day you can always get fired. And, you know, I put in the story there. I mean, Dell Demps took the job in late July. They had fired Jeff Bauer, or Jeff Bauer resigned, I think, 2 weeks after free agency. You know, in 2010. So it's not an unheard of situation to go through the draft and then have the change. But I wouldn't expect it. If you're asking me, what do I think will happen? This is not source news or anything. I think they're all going to come back, but I certainly don't know that. And I believe that there's a part of the Saints that, you know, there's certainly, people who I think would benefit from having new energy in the building. I think they would really help sales. I think it would really help generate some interest in the team if they had a new coach and they had a new general manager and a new direction and all this kind of stuff. But I think there's also a very large faction that believes that what they did in February has really helped, and this is a new direction of the team, and then this deserves a chance to play out. And I also wouldn't be surprised if they get till Christmas and they make another decision. You know, if they're kind of give these guys 4 months, if you conclude March and April, February, March, April, and then you include the first 2 months of this next season and say that's your sample size. And if this doesn't work, then you're cleaning house and you're going forward from there. So there's a lot of options. I don't know which way they're leaning right now. If I had to guess, I would say I think everybody's coming back. But it's a complicated situation, and it's definitely a unique situation in this league that the way it's being operated out, which is the tentacles of the Saints are kind of controlling a lot of this stuff with the Pelicans and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it's certainly a unique situation. I guess it's just time will tell, and we'll wait to see what happens here. So, Scott, thanks so much for coming on with me today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Good to be back on Locked On Pels. It's been a while. I was the first ever guest.
You were. I've been saving you for when we had some like really interesting things to talk about. I didn't want to bring you on in just the middle of the season and just be like, so things are bad. Should we talk about it?
No, I appreciate it. Good idea. Wait me out.
I just got to make you sweat. Just think you're not important enough to keep you humble. It's like the only Pelicans beat writer right now. You know, I don't want you getting a big head.
Fair enough, man. Well, thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks, Scott. So there you have it. Great insight from Scott Kushner, beat writer for the New Orleans Advocate, giving you a little bit of behind-the-scenes glimpse here at how the Pelicans operate, what the future of Gentry and Demps might be. It sounds like he thinks they're coming back as well, so maybe that's a good thing if you're in the camps of those guys, if you were hoping for some new blood or maybe blood to be spilled. It sounds like you might be a little bit disappointed by it. But obviously, this is a crucial time for this franchise, and maybe stability is going to be the most important thing for the team. So that'll do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Again, don't forget, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Thanks to my guest, Scott Kushner, for coming on with me today, giving some great insight to the team on a topic that's on everybody's mind, especially now that I've been saying the NFL draft is over and maybe we can focus on them again. So got some other great guests for you the remainder of this week. Tomorrow, talking about Jeff Van Gundy and what his impact or arrival could mean for the team, why I don't think he's the right guy to target for this franchise, at least in the current state, and my take on him. So that'll be an interesting one because I know he's a name on a lot of people's minds. I think the number one questions I get asked is Holiday staying, who are they going to target free agent, and then after, are they bringing back Gentry and Demps? You know, is Van Gundy a realistic option, and how would he be coaching this team? Spoiler, I don't think he'd be a very good fit, but that's for tomorrow. So again, thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.